Now that the U.S. is out of the Iran nuclear deal, the disentangling has begun. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Car, truck, airplane companies, banks, and other financial firms have less than 3 months to cut off Iran, the U.S. Treasury now says. Oil and shipping companies have about 6 months. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin speaking on CNN.
It was a bad deal in 2005. It's a bad deal today. And for those people who say we couldn't get a better deal, we don't believe it. So the answer is we're going to put the sanctions back in place. If Iran legitimately wants to become part of the international community, they will sit down with us and our allies and negotiate a legitimate deal that's fair and protects American people.
Reza Marashi now is a former U.S. State Department official who is research director at the National Iranian American Council, which promotes U.S.-Iran ties. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I presume this is not the outcome you were looking for. Do you predict an orderly unwinding of the ties between the U.S. and Iran?
No, it's not the outcome that I was looking for or the majority of the world. I think the most striking thing to me about the announcement yesterday that Donald Trump made was there was no strategy, there was no policy, there was no detail articulated. It was nothing more than an airing of grievances.
Well, I mean, the Treasury Department had some stuff. There are some companies that are on a 90-day list for unwinding the relations, and there's other companies on the 180-day list. There's some detail.
I can tell you from my past life as a U.S. government official that while the Treasury Department certainly has a Herculean task enforcing sanctions and making sure that people and companies stay informed of the latest developments regarding sanctions, what they put out yesterday was bare bones, and it was the bare minimum that would be considered reasonably acceptable. So looking ahead, I think the challenge is, can Europe step up to the plate and provide the kind of political and economic assurances together with Russia and China that will help this deal continue to succeed without America as a party to it?
Because the overall goal is not just nurturing trade. There are legitimate global security issues at stake here. There's work that Iran needs to do to better integrate into the world economy.
No question. So in order for Iran to derive the benefits that it was promised in this agreement, and thus in order for Iran to continue fulfilling its commitments that it's made, the Europeans, the Russians, and the Chinese are essentially going to have to create political and economic structures that don't currently exist, that have no connection to the U.S. financial system. Now, if that sounds like a Herculean task, that's precisely because it is.
Reza Marashi, research director at the National Iranian American Council, used to be at the U.S. State Department. Mr. Marashi, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I can see here that crude oil is up 2.5% to $70.75 a barrel in New York, but stock markets are taking new Iran sanctions in stride. In early trading here, the Dow is up 43 points, 0.2%, the S&P 500 up 0.4%, NASDAQ up 0.2%. Here's analyst Susan Schmidt.
It's still not clear what is going to happen and what the impact of sanctions and potential U.S. actions are going to be. We don't know how Iran is going to be integrating into the worldwide economic community. Remember that Europe can still be a big customer. Saudi has already come in and said they'll make up for any decrease in output. The global supply of oil may not actually be changing all that much. Separately, we're still in the midst of earnings, and we're seeing 75% of companies report better than expected sales and earnings. So that's a very positive, encouraging sign. And I think the market's really focused on that underlying until they can get more clarity on what's happening with our international trade situations.
Susan is senior portfolio manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. And the telecom giant AT&T confirms it did pay money to President Trump's personal lawyer for, AT&T says, insights into understanding the Trump administration. The company says no legal or lobbying work was done, just insights. The AT&T money went to attorney Michael Cohen's company, the same company that paid porn star Stormy Daniels. The New York Times also says money tied to a Russian oligarch also went to Cohen's company. This morning, the California Energy Commission is set to vote on a proposal to require solar panels on new homes being built. This would be a U.S. first. This would start in 2 years and would apply to most single-family houses. this thing's expected to pass. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports on what the mandate could mean for home buyers.
Installing solar panels on a home would add up to $12,000 in construction costs, says Bob Raymer. He's with the California Building Industry Association and says those in the state's Central Valley would feel that cost the most.
That is where $8,000 to $10,000 to $12,000 means a whole lot.
So builders, they're against this proposal, yeah?
No. Once you're in the house, your utility bill is going to go down substantially.
New home buyers tend to look for deals, and buying a solar-powered house could mean saving around $20,000 over 30 years. Anselm Clenard is a real estate agent in Los Angeles.
Millennial buyers, in my experience, tend to be much more frugal and price-conscious in terms of the investments they're making.
President Trump's tariffs on imported solar panels raises costs a bit, says Abigail Hopper. She heads up Solar Energy Industries Association. But even so, she says,
the general value proposition stands that consumers will save more money.
If the proposal passes, other states will likely watch closely to see how the Golden State pulls it off. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
Oh, why wasn't I the one to invent this? You know, during an audience Q&A, the excruciating wait until the microphone gets passed to the person in the audience with a question, or the awkwardness of lining up for a mic? If only you could just toss the mic through the air to the questioner. Well, it's now called Catch Box. It's a soft cube you throw like a squareular beach ball. No feedback because the mic knows to mute when airborne. And if the questioner doesn't like your tone from the dais, you can throw it back. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.